Well, greetings, adventurers, and welcome back to Tales from the Jungle Cruise. Today's Season 2, Episode 10, the second half of our holiday sit-down with Skipper Rex and Skipper Kip. We start off by playing a little game show-style game, but we get back into the normal discussion afterwards. We kind of had not a great place to split this really long episode in half, so it may seem a little abrupt, but you'll get back into it quickly. Now, do you know a Jungle Cruise skipper who might want to chat with us on the show? Are you a Jungle Cruise skipper who might want to chat with us on the show? Well, just email us at junglecruise, C-R-E-W-S, at gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We have a big stack of new episodes coming up in the spring. We're writing and recording some new Jungle Cruise radio plays, and we have a lot of new guests recorded and lined up already. So keep an ear out in about 2 weeks for our next episode. As always, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/junglecruise, C-R-E-W-S. I think that brings us all up to date. So here's the second half. It's our game show edition episode of Tales from the Jungle Cruise. Kip, it's time for the bonus round. We're going to...
This is fun. You're going to have to answer
this. This is a game show. I don't know if you knew you signed up
for I'll sign up for anything.
So I'm going to give you 10 words, and you need to tell me whether that word is a prescription medicine or the name of a Cirque du Soleil show. Okay? So is it a prescription medicine, which... So I'll give you an example.
And I've seen neither.
If I said Paxil, you would say that it was... That's an easier.
It's a street in my neighborhood. Okay. We have Paxil Street, and it's right next to.
It was a prescription drug, is what that would be.
Okay.
So, Asafex. What would your instinct be? Do you think it's a prescription drug or a Cirque du Soleil show?
Instinct. Can I tell you an instinct story real quick?
Please.
Let's do that. See, to interrupt this.
If you know neither of them, then maybe we want to just play this with random.
No, we'll do it. We'll do it. But you brought up the word instinct, and it reminds me of a story of. Three little birds. There's a mama bird. There's a point to this.
Okay, that's fine.
Papa bird and baby bird. And the three birds that were up on the power line, and it was a cold, windy night. And Papa bird pulls his head off from his wing. He looks around and says, you know, my instincts tell me it's time to fly south. So mama bird, she looks around. She's shaking a little bit, and she says, yep. She says, my instincts tell me it's time to fly south. And baby bird, he pulls his head off from underneath his wing, and he looks around and he says, yeah, my instincts too, but it doesn't tell me anything. So let's get back to the word game.
Okay.
That was, yeah.
See, instincts, just, yeah, that's my instinct. That's where they...
So, ass effects.
I'm going to say...
That's kind of an easier one.
I don't think it is.
No? I got it wrong, remember?
Because I'm just like guessing here. I'm going to say Cirque du Soleil.
No, Asafex is actually a prescription drug that has nothing to do with anal.
That's very disappointing.
No effects of the anus.
That's disappointing. Some marketing guy missed the boat.
So Zytiga.
Zytiga. Is that spelled with an X?
Z-Y-T-I-G-A.
Oh, Z-Y. Okay. I'm thinking that's a Cirque one.
That's actually a prescription drug as well.
See, no, how many of these are there?
There are 10.
Okay,
there
so I'm 10. Keeping score. I'm 0 for 2.
I thought that was a Beach Boys lyric, wasn't it? Yes. Bermuda, Bahamas, Zytiga. Okay, never mind.
here, Allegria.
Well, if I say Allegria.
I'll agree with you.
Yeah. Because if I'm wrong, then it'd be, I would disagree.
Yeah.
Allegria, I'm going to say Cirque du Soleil.
You are correct.
Oh, see, now I'm just guessing, though. It's just like, you know, I get that. I like it's like I did it, like, in school.
I
told you I was a C
spin
student.
On it. Cirque du Soleil. That's nice.
How about Famara?
Femara?
F-E-M-A-R-A.
I'm going to go with prescription drug.
You are correct on that.
Back up 50%. Yeah, I'm in Shaq free throw territory now.
Let's see if you're familiar with Nexium. Is that a Cirque du Soleil show?
Oh, no, that's a prescription. I've seen that on TV as purple, I think. So they really did a good job on that.
So you keep track on this. He's up to two. Corteo.
That sounds like a Cirque show to me.
That is a Cirque show. Mm. I thought it might be a neural drug, a brain drug, but it is actually a Cirque du Soleil show.
Wow.
I like to compare it to Cortade. It's close to that.
Amaluna. I'm saying that's a Cirque show also.
That is also a Cirque show. Yeah. You're doing well with that. Zyprexa.
Ooh.
Could that go
sounds,
either way.
That sounds prescription.
It is also a prescription drug. So, Kedam.
I'm going Cirque on that one.
And that is also Cirque. We've got up to six. Varakai.
Cirque.
That is also Cirque. You're doing well. And I believe that was it. That's seven of ten.
That's not Hall of Fame.
That's the high score,
statistics,
actually.
But
it's actually the high score. Rex did 5 out of 10.
Yeah, I did terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, after you get a rhythm going after a while when you start hearing them. There's a little more distinction.
I think we're going to, as we wrap this, we're going to go and talk to the girl at the scarf booth and play the game with her because she's very lonely. We're outside in, I believe
fantastic.
That it's Midwest weather, 50 degrees, 60 degrees, the dead of winter in Minnesota. This is as cold as it gets. It's not actually. It's temperate. It's beautiful. A little drizzle, but there's no holiday shoppers out here. And all of the...
They're all stuck on the freeway from car accidents.
How is that? Because the parking lot is jam-packed full, and there's no people in here. Where are they?
Movie theater? Could be. No, actually, I think that they've become the people from that Journey song, those streetlight people. Up and down the boulevard, shadows searching for blood.
Do we really want to go on this journey?
We don't want to do that again.
Let's go back. My instincts tell me...
So here's a question that was discussed on the last podcast I taped. Oh, I'm fine. I have plenty of time left. So the Jungle Cruise is now 58-ish years old. So in a few more years, it'll be eligible for Social Security benefits. Does the Jungle Cruise make it to 100? With the technology we've got, with the short attention spans. What were we talking about? I forget. But does the Jungle Cruise carry on for another 42 years?
I'm thinking about 75 is when it's going to run its course.
Yeah. The 75 would put it somewhere in the 2033 range.
Yeah.
I'm thinking at some point people are going to interact with stuff nearly, and they won't be going on, like, physical rides anymore. And I know that sounds
you're saying it's the Matrix.
I think people are going to plug into an internet nearly. I really think that's going to happen. And, like, just any sort of interactive device, like an iPad or an iPod, would just become obsolete.
Could use this crappy Android phone I have, I'm sure.
I mean, can you imagine if they just charge you to go on their virtual ride? They have no fear of you getting hurt. They don't have to maintain it. They don't have to do anything.
Yeah, but you don't think the nostalgia side is going to always keep Disneyland as a fresh...
It might become a historical landmark. I don't know that it would keep the draw in the future.
I guess I'm kind of cynical in that I just believe that technology doesn't really change things, doesn't change human nature. You know, that there's always going to be this marketing machine and this advertising that's going to keep the Disney park experience fresh in people's minds.
I think,
let's say that you are plugged into the net and you're playing your World of Warcraft 43, you know. I actually... get back to that in a second because there's a funny story there. But you know, if you're doing that every day, going out to the Disney park is going to be, I mean, granted it'll be $200 for a day's admission
with inflation,
but you know, it's
that's still a bargain.
Annual pass holder, you just cut your left arm off and give it to the resort. That's what your annual pass fee
that's
is.
The one that's numb anyway,
kidney,
so you're not going to need it.
Yeah, kidney, just give them a kidney out of it.
Okay, kidney, I'll do that.
So for our Rex and Kyle Make Up the News, if we ever do launch said
that's
podcast.
A new podcast, proposed. Potentially.
So let's see. This is actually a real story. There is a retirement home in Florida
that is guaranteeing connected T1 lines in every room, a gaming PC with updates every couple of years, and the ability to sit there in your retired age in your wheelchair, go to the cafeteria, get some food, come back up and play video games connected to the internet for as much time as you want. They're actually taking reservations now for being constructed in 3 or 4 years for people to come and retire and live out the end of their days playing online video games.
I gotta figure
out
how to
retire. Can I just
sign
up now?
Yeah.
Let's just go. And I don't even play video games. I'm just tired of working.
Yeah.
I need to figure out how to retire in 3 to 4 years. I guess I could work for the state.
Don't worry. Their pensions are getting cut faster than...
Yeah. We won't get into that, though. Let's not.
No politics.
Yeah.
We don't want to be, you know, getting into those. So I think we'll have one more episode before the fiscal cliff, which I thought was just, you know, Cliff Richard's getting really rich, but...
Fiscal. Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's all right. That's a joke that's getting cut. I'm going to edit that one out.
You hear about that new book coming out, though? Fiscal Clifford, The Big Red Dog?
Yes.
That's going to be fun.
Almost as much fun
They can't afford to house him any longer, apparently.
Almost as fun as my other favorite children's book, By Curious George. It's a great relationship with the man in the yellow hat.
The man and the woman in the yellow hat, apparently.
Did I mention I was a C student in high school?
Well, we're still doing picture books, so...
Okay, yeah.
So what other news that's come out recently, have you guys heard about the... I'm sure you know Harry Potter World is coming to Universal Studios in Hollywood?
Yes, I've heard about that.
So apparently they're pulling the Gibson.
I'll be busy that decade.
Yes. You don't want to work there?
No.
I think that you would be great at the wand shop. Because you'd just be like, I'll pick one.
And you're also kind of shaped like a wand. I'll be honest with you.
Okay, well, if I got some marketing appeal,
there you go.
I would.
Yeah, and if they pay you based upon, you know, because that's a talent job there. You get paid more money for.
Okay, now we're talking.
Another movie franchise will be coming. Also, they're going to be doing Twilight every day as the sun goes down.
So anyway, so they're taking the Gibson Amphitheater actually out to build space for Hogwarts. That's where the Gibson.
No more ice cream.
Yes, no more ice cream. That was the best sponsored thing ever.
Ice cream.
But not only the Hogwarts thing with the Harry Potter, I'm really looking forward to the theme park based on the Hunger Games. Because I think that's amazing. You know, 12 guests go in, one comes out. I think it's a perfect tie-in. Very exciting. May have an issue with return guests.
Do you think they'll have an ADA access for that? My money is not on the ECV getting to the weapons first.
Well, you have to put them all in the same group to make it even.
Might have a dagger hidden in that electric wheelchair. I don't know.
I think the Hunger Games would be great if you took 12 celebrity chefs from Food Network. And you had Mario Batali against Guy Fieri. Which, by the way...
Ooh, Guy.
Hold on. He pronounced it Guy Fieri.
Fieri, yeah.
And there's no T anywhere in that freaking word. So, you know, I'm Italian. I don't get how he's taking consonants that don't exist and smashing them together like he was at a, you know, particle collider.
It's about as useless as the G in lasagna, right? I mean...
That R and kernel.
No, but the thing is, that's where the letter already exists, and you ignore it. With him, he's creating new letters in his name, and I want to ignore him. But, yeah, no, I think it'd be great watching Paula Deen and fighting up against Mario Batali for a stick of butter. I think that'd be a great Hunger game.
Just drag Julia Child in there, too. She can hold her own.
She'd be a zombie.
Well, she's taking a couple cuts. She's got some scars. She can handle it. But I wonder, you know, Paula Deen would probably have, like, the technique where she'd give everyone diabetes and then just hide out until they all die of insulin shortage.
This really isn't... this isn't Street Fighter. They don't have some magical, you know, property.
She's going to... Diabetes fireballs?
Yeah. How you get butter?
Just be like a big ball of cotton coming at you, cotton candy.
Someone right now is taking this and proposing this as a new video game to some company. So it's going to be Top Chef Fighter.
Mortal Kombat meets diabetic treatment.
Culinary combat.
Wilfred Brimley is there.
I can just see it now. Flambe him. Instead of, sorry, that's a finish him thing. Game jokes.
So, yeah.
Edit that out, please.
I think we'll have about 10 minutes of content at this point for all the things I'm editing out.
Perfect.
Oddly enough, you know, we took your episode with Joey and Trevor and we rebroadcast it over on our side. We're on that episode. I don't know if they told you that we were going to do that. But,
I think you mentioned to me.
Yeah, like 2,600 people have listened to that episode.
Nice.
On purpose?
I don't believe so. I think they walked into an elevator.
Yeah, it was playing somewhere.
That's like 2,600 more than listen to my episode, so that's pretty good.
We've hit something. I said we're around 60,000 downloads right now.
Oh, that's fantastic.
For 22 episodes.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That is good.
It's about 3,000 person averages. And it's funny that the strangest episodes are the ones that really like hit it out of the park. The Allison and Christina episode. Allison Raleigh and Christina Varga.
Oh.
Which I think my theory is it got so many hits because it's called the Bacon Incident. And I just think people just search the word bacon and it comes up on Google. That's my theory. But that one's actually had 50% more than any other.
We call this one the Bacon Incident too.
We could.
Whoa. Why are people Googling bacon on the internet? You can find it at the grocery store. I don't understand what the need is.
Well,
to look it up.
I think the bacon is one of those things that because it's a flexible, you can do a lot of things with it. Did you see all the bacon-covered turkeys for Thanksgiving?
I did see.
Everyone makes the mesh and they...
The lattice covers and all the various...
That's pretty impressive, actually.
People have jobs.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, their job is actually working for the Bacon Council.
Yes.
You know, they're bacon lobbyists.
I want that job.
That'd be a great job. Be easy.
You hear him? He's begging to be hired here.
Trichinosis free. That's me.
Yeah.
You ever have the urge to want to try Bacon Strips, the dog treat, just because of its close proximity to the food bacon?
But it really, no.
Is there any bacon content?
Is this confession time?
Maybe. Yeah. I could. Sorry, everyone.
Because I've tried it.
Oh, have you really?
Yeah. They're not good.
No. It was no semblance of bacon whatsoever.
I mean,
it does have
jelly.
The aroma, but it's. Yeah. It's not what you. It's not something you'd want to put right next to your eggs and your hash browns.
You don't want to do like a BLT, bacon strip, lettuce and tomato sandwich.
I think dogs. Everything tastes the same to dogs because they'll eat anything you put in front of them. Just
pretty
about.
Much, yeah.
Yeah, I think they all taste the same.
Yeah,
that's how I get rid of my murder victims. But you guys don't. Oh, okay. Never mind. That's confession time's
just,
over.
Just a thing.
That's it. That was a joke, people.
I always like having Rex on the podcast because I seem slightly less interesting. So it's a nice paring down of it,
Oh, is that what...
It helps me get back in balance.
Is the Abbott Costello thing? I gotta be all off-kilter and
this is
bring me back down?
You know, this is just like Abbott and Costello, but I'm hoping that you're more like Harold Lloyd because it was a silent film star. See, 1920s burn.
wow.
That's
depressing.
I saw Hugo.
I didn't mime it.
Get it? Oh, yeah. Nice.
we've infected him. We've become patient zero of the pun outbreak.
This is punny stuff, let me tell you.
So I saw Hugo, since we're talking about Harold. That was really not a great movie. I don't see why it was nominated for an Academy Award. It was an okay movie, but it was preachy.
You're gonna have to.
That was the Scorsese one where the kid lives in the train station.
Oh, I didn't see it, but
Sacha
I know what you're
Baron
talking
Cohen.
About.
It was an okay watch, but it wasn't Academy Award level, and it's not Disney, so we shouldn't even talk about it. So
I don't have the attention span to watch movies anymore.
No, I don't.
I
can't watch TV.
I go with a buddy of mine. We go every month or two, and we watch movies. And I could walk out and not even remember what the movie was. I did see Flight. That's the most recent movie I've seen.
Oh, okay. I think we can attribute that to we're all used to watching 6 and 7 minute clips on the internet of certain videos.
No, I just think that in my older age that I have to get up and go to the bathroom every 10 or 15 minutes when I'm in a movie theater.
By the way, there's an app for that. I'm not kidding. It tells you when the best
movie.
Parts to go to the bathroom. Yeah. It actually
boring parts of the movie.
Not a bad app, actually. We've tested it out. It's fairly good. So, pretty much, if I was to make that app, I would just say credits. Like, you go to the bathroom in the credits. Movies are too expensive now.
I just really think that people should leave the theater before they use that app. I think that it's just not a big popcorn tub. I don't know. That's got to be one of the worst jobs in the world, is to be custodial at movie theaters.
Wreck-It Ralph, because I mean, obviously a lot of children were in that theater when I saw it, and when we stood up after it was over, I pointed to all the seats around us, you know, just because there were so many kids, there's just popcorn and soda everywhere, and I said, imagine that it looked like this before we came in, and somehow they're going to make it look good again before the next group, and that blows my mind.
I got to think, I mean, it's not just like, and it's not technology, there's no giant vacuum
just
cleaner.
Just manual labor.
It just goes in there, so...
You know, and this is a fun little fact, in Japan, they don't have to clean the theaters because they're actually so self-sufficient and clean there. Everyone throws
their
stuff
trash
away.
Yeah.
They literally, like, they're busing the theater, whatever they might call it.
Yeah, but they also have toilets that do their work for them with the spray water and the bidet.
I love those remote control images. Those are great. They have little images on the buttons of, like, water going up a butt.
Yeah, and I don't understand why that hasn't caught on in America because we're so lazy about everything else.
True, yeah. When it comes to the bathrooms, we sure like to do it manually, don't we?
You know, ever drop something in the movie theater or during the movie and you're afraid to stick your hand down there and you can't reach?
Yeah.
I think I'm just leaving it down there. It's only $20.
But when it's like your keys or a wallet or something, you have to.
I will literally just let my flip-flops get stuck to it and just take them off and it'll just stay
put. How can you wear flip-flops
in
a movie
theater? Oh, I love it.
Don't you get, like, chunks of popcorn caught between your foot and
I don't. I don't let my feet touch the ground, though. That's the trick.
No, I'm just saying.
Kind of like hover trick you do? You just, like, float
in? No, I just put my feet up against the back of the unlucky person in front of me. So, it's all right. I'm tall, too, so it's a squeeze.
Yeah, I went to go see Lincoln, and I didn't really enjoy the movie because everyone in the theater was wearing the souvenir hat.
That's not a movie. That's actually an animatronic robot synced with audio.
No, not The Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, the Spielberg movie.
Wait, Spielberg did The Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln? I'm sorry, I'll stop.
That would have been a much better... I worked there right when they had those headphones... I spent a good 6 months of one summer wiping headphones off with alcohol prep wipes.
Is that the one where the guy blows on your... He's cutting your hair and he blows in your ear?
He blows in your ear.
Yeah, the whole sound test thing.
That's the last time I've been in there.
Then he puts his hand in your lap, and it's just it gets inappropriate from that point forward.
Well, he's looking for a tip.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, just the tip.
Just for fun.
I actually really liked working Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. For a number of reasons. As a cast member, it was great because you could check your phone on a regular basis. That was kind of fun. Unfortunately, it was when I worked, it was before smartphones, so I just looked to make sure I had a phone in my pocket. The hard part of working Lincoln is it was the place where more people tried to get away with having sex at Disneyland than any other place that you could find. So we would always have to watch whether people were in the back row doing things they weren't supposed to. First of all, the movie is maybe like 15-minute presentation. So what do you do with that extra 10 minutes?
Four scored.
And you didn't ask Honest Abe if anything was going on in there?
What was the big proclamation that Lincoln's so famous for? Was the remove your pants fornication? What was it called again?
Yeah, the only thing that was bad about having a cell phone was the Lincoln costume has a vest under the tuxedo tails, and I would tuck the cell phone in the pocket in the front of the vest, and being a gentleman of a particular girth, rotundness that I have, I went to the restroom in a hurry one time, and as I'm in there, the phone pops out of the vest pocket and goes directly into the toilet. And it was a brand new smartphone-y, kind of like LG Envy or whatever it was. Just went right in there.
So, sink or float?
Yeah, it was sink.
Oh.
Not a very smart phone.
No, it was not a...
Teach it to swim before
you... Yeah, smart, it would have gone out of the water.
So what do you think what's the best thing that you've seen a guest drop in the river, other than small children?
I know one time I was skippering and... It was at night, and they were loading the boat, and I was doing my load spiel, and this girl kept tapping me. She's going, I'm not very good at interacting with the guests, so she kept tapping me. And so finally, I looked at her, and I said, "Can I help you?" And she goes, "Yeah, your hat just fell off, and it's floating away." So My hat was, I used to put on the bow because I can't fit inside the boat with the hat on. So I just put on the bow and it somehow had fallen off and it was floating toward the rainforest.
The I had that pith helmet. Do you remember the pith helmet?
I do remember.
I saw you wear.
I had the white actual real pith helmet. I got it through costuming, got it approved. Was not allowed to wear it during my second tour of duty because they had tightened up the costume rules.
Right. Yeah.
So when I had, actually Tiffany, Skipper Tiffany, wound up with possession of said hat, and then said hat became part of the wall of don't wear this stuff. Upstairs in the management offices, they had this wall of costuming no-nos, and they put my hat on display as a don't do this, which, you know, kind of desecrated, the 3 years that I wore that hat in the jungle. Pith helmet was actually great, though, because you could soak it in water or, you know, like literally leave it overnight in cold water, wear it the next day, and it would sweat out during the day and would keep you cool. So I 110 degree weather, I was fine because it was like air conditioning on my head. But I had there was a particular skipper who hated that hat. Like every time he saw it, he like would have like a viscerally bad reaction, and he ended up becoming a lead. My theory is that the pith helmet was vaguely shaped like the male anatomy, and I think that may have been
a bit valid.
But this lead just hated that hat on me. So there were a couple times where it mysteriously fell in the river when it was, you know, on a counter or something. And he just disliked it so much.
Wow, that's a vengeance, man. That's crazy.
So,
yeah, it's just a hat. Why are you freaking out?
So on one of my last trips, talking about stuff falling in the river, I was privileged to do two last trips, if that makes any sense. So at the end of
I
one of my
last trips. So.
Yeah, at the
I
end, at the end of my last trip, my second last trip, I was sitting at Trader Sam, and one of the traditions was you would pass on something to another skipper that meant something, you know, something that you had that meant something to you, and you wanted to pass on somebody else that meant something to you as a skipper. So I had this fake Rolex I'd had forever, and it was beautiful, but it would lose like 3 hours a day. I would wear it, and people would ask what time it is.
Precision,
I don't know.
Which is funny, with the amount of alcohol that I drink, that's about how much I lose every day.
Yeah, it's like a time machine.
It is, yeah. I wake up, I'm like, what happened to 6 p.m. to 9 p.m.?
That's awesome, a fake Rolex that can't even keep time.
So I was talking to Mike Libby, and I was telling him about this watch, and I said, you know, I want to leave, but I want to, like, do something with it. So I thought, what about, like, one of the attacking natives or something? He goes, no, he says, maintenance guys are always out there. They'd find it and it'd disappear. And he said, what I thought you were going to do, and he gave me this idea. I said, that's fantastic. So at the end of the night, at the end of the trip, we get to Trader Sam, and I start my spiel, and I say, you know, one of the traditions is to pass something along to another skipper that means something to you. And I have this watch here, and I told the story about working in the 50th anniversary, and this is half true. This guy named Skip showed up, and he was one of the original skippers when the park opened in 1955. And I said, you know, Skip and I, we hit it off and had a great friendship. And he gave me this watch that he wore when he was a skipper here at the Jungle Cruise. And so I took the watch and I had it in my pocket. And I said, I want to give this watch to Mike Libby. And everybody clapped, you know. So I'm saying, hold on. So I'm trying to get the watch out of my pocket.
I can already see where this
and
is
I'm,
going.
And I'm going, hold on a second. And I'm going, and I pulled it out. And when I pulled it out, it flung out of my hand into the river right next to the boat where Mike was sitting, right in front of Trader Sam. It was my treasured watch. And everybody cheered and oohed, and they were all upset. And I said, you know where it is. If you ever want to come get it. So that was the end of my last trip.
That was... There was a skipper that we kind of had a running gag that anytime we'd get a cell phone that had been in the river, that was, I mean, it had to be like totally non-functioning, covered in, like if we're dredging for keys with the pool skimmer, we'd get a phone, we'd let it dry out, and they'd pull into the dock up from Trader Sam, and I'd be like, hey, I'm trying to think of who, it might have been Paul Horn that I did this with. There were a couple people that we did this joke, And I'm like, hey, is this your cell phone? Like, oh, yeah, where'd you find that? I'm like, oh, it was right over here. Let me give it to you. And I would throw it and intentionally overshoot the boat.
I remember that gag, yeah.
And it would go right in the water on the other side of the boat.
That was a fun gag. I remember that.
The thing is, you had to set it up because you were far away from the boat. So you had to be loud enough that everyone on the boat would get the timing of what was going on, and the skipper would have to be in on the joke. Otherwise, it just looks like you're throwing things
into
front of
river.
The boat. Yeah, for no reason. I don't know how we got to like 20 episodes before mentioning the penny bucket.
I love the penny bucket.
Didn't we talked about that on the one I was on, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That thing disappeared.
Really?
I don't blame management. That should have been gone a long time ago.
I loved the penny bucket. I used to go to the shop across Adventureland and buy rolls of pennies from them.
Oh yeah.
And come back and we would just sit there. I made 2 pennies from rear unload. In the penny bucket.
Yep. Wow.
I was heaving those bad boys.
Yeah, I could regularly hit it from the shipping office.
Yeah.
Nice.
That was never an issue at all. But for those people who are just listening to our babbling, in the space between the boat storage on the far side, there's a little catwalk between where the boats unload, and there was a metal bucket on a pier, little pylon, and we would, you know, have pocket change, and we would just throw it from... Yeah, 8, 10, 12 feet away to try to get it into the bucket. And we were sinking them better than Shaq. I mean, we could
for
really...
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
That's not hard, but he's soccer, right? I don't know sports.
I don't think he does either.
I'm nerdy. I don't know.
No, he's a movie actor, Shaquille.
Movie actor.
Oh, famous rapper?
Law enforcement.
Man of Steel.
The Diesel.
Law enforcement.
Also into video games, Shaq Fu. Anyone remembers that?
I had a friend who had Shaq Fu for a while. But you know, you were saying about how when you leave, you like to... give something to other people, and it's funny how Rex did that to a lot of the female skippers.
That's true. Yeah, they're going to live with that the rest of their lives.
Mementos, photos.
Unfortunately,
photos.
What was that?
Of their time to get. What were you talking about? I was talking about souvenir photos.
That's what I was totally talking about. Same thing. I wasn't talking about anything else.
Did you have a pith hat also?
Oh, no, it was a helmet.
Hey, don't get pithed off at me.
Oh, nice. These jokes are getting pithy. All right.
So I think we should.
You want to interview the?
Well, we'll go over there. Now, since I haven't had you officially on the show, any other fun jungly stories you want to tell? Because we do have a listener base. We got written up in a magazine in Orlando, Walt Disney World, the magazine.
Wasn't it Weed?
No,
it was a cease and desist letter. Actually,
we actually had like a 6-page write up in a big.
Oh no, kidding!
And,
that's great.
Yeah, and our listenership has kind of gone through the roof ever since. So, there are people actually listening now. So, if you have any fun stories you want to share, that's a good time to do it.
Do you take questions from listeners that we could answer on here?
I would love to. I've given out the email address 25-30 times now. Mm-hmm. I've received 2 emails in the. It kind of surprises me that we've had 60,000 downloads, and we have 300 people on our Facebook page, most of which I'm related to, that don't actually listen to the podcast. We don't get the feedback, and it really surprises me that people aren't incensed about how little we actually talk about the Jungle Cruise. But if you do want to write us, we would love to hear the feedback. JungleCruiseCrews@gmail.com. The other way to give us feedback, which we would love if it's positive, is go to iTunes and leave us comments, because the more comments we get on iTunes, the better placement we get on their ranking lists.
Oh, okay.
So we could actually get, Joey and Trevor were on the New and Noteworthy for iTunes for a while.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
So they were very well received. They actually are doing a podcast once a week, which I would aspire to do once a month, but... It's sporadic. You know how skippers are always late?
Or
hard to get scheduled.
What are you talking about? No, that shocks me, because every time I tell anyone that I've worked at Disney, or even when I work there and I tell people I work there, the first thing you get is everyone, is it really true that XYZ, or is this really happened, or is it really
I would love to have that.
So I'm surprised you don't get those.
Yeah, if you guys want to know anything about the park, even things that we don't know, we'll make up great stories.
Yeah, we'll make it sound believable.
We'll lie. So please drop us a line. We actually have a pretty good... we're starting to get skippers from the 70s. Lined up soon.
So, speaking of making up stories, that book about all the hidden Mickeys in the park.
Yeah.
What's the how do they endorse that?
Well, are they selling it in the park?
Oh yeah,
really?
See, here's the thing that bugs me about the Hidden Mickey thing. I was over in Cars Land.
There you go, hating on Cars Land again.
Yeah, you missed my earlier tirade about it, but so there's a guest relations.
I'll listen
person.
To it later.
Yeah, you would be one of the three people who do. But no. So the guest relations person in plaid, a middle-aged woman with quite unattractive features. I'm just walking in there with my friends with a camera, and she's like, "Oh, hey, do you want to see where the hidden Mickey is in Cars Land?" And I said to her, "It's not hidden if you tell me where the F it is." It's just a Mickey at that point.
Oh, good point.
You know, and it's a little frustrating that this hidden Mickey thing, because some of the things are really, you know, a stretch. There's three manhole covers on Main Street that are vaguely... No, they're not. They're just manhole covers that just happen to have other manhole covers near them.
Yeah, the one I hear the most is at Big Thunder Exit, the cactus.
Yeah.
They come out of there it is. Wait, where... There it is!
There's a rock at Indiana Jones in the exit queue that maybe if you were high and turned your head sideways and the lighting was perfect, you might call that a Mickey Mouse head. But it's frustrating to me, you know, realistically. Yes, there are things the Imagineers left behind, but chances are they just had some extra wallpaper that just happened to have some Mickey Mouses on it, and they slapped it on a wall somewhere. It's not as deliberate as... I think it's just this obsession that people have with decoding mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
There are no effing Roswell aliens.
Yeah, we're there. Area 51.
JFK was not taken out by the by the mafia.
Yeah.
It's just freaking happenstance that some of these things happen.
I'll tell you a funny hidden Mickey story. So we were doing a walkthrough at Matterhorn.
And, my first ride.
So we got to walk through, and they were walking us by Harold, and... their hidden Mickey is there. I mean, you've seen it, but it's a rope. It's a rope that's shaped like hidden Mickey.
Yeah.
Well, it's not attached. It's just laying there. And one of the people in our group are walking through. They look at this rope, and they picked it up. and you should have seen the cast members that worked there. They like had a heart attack. It was so funny.
I can't imagine.
And they tried to get it back, but it was all distorted. It wasn't even close. Oh man, it was so fun. That made the whole trip.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. It was funny.
I think I think that the one at Mansion's legitimate with the plates.
The plates on the table,
That's kind of, you know, meant to be that, but it's got to
be. And ours is missing. Jungle.
What was the.
It was on the Swanee, that frying pan on the Swanee.
Oh yeah, with the frying pan.
When it went in for a refurb, it came back, no frying pan. And it's been gone for 2 years, at least 2 years.
Oh well, whatever.
Yeah, I think that there are just people who may have too much time on their hands or whatever it is that they just want to look for things that, you know, that nobody
do they come
else
in and
seen.
Look for the for Lincoln's forehead? Do they look in the temple to see?
Yeah, just to see if there's...
Well, you sent me that article of people in Florida that try to get into, like, the backstage areas. They want to explore the secrets of the park.
That's a really crazy article.
And that totally plays... I kind of made a little Area 51 reference earlier, and that's, like, exactly their mentalities. They're like, they want to sneak into the quote-unquote secret facilities,
There's these urban gatherer-hunter types who go into Orlando's closed parts of the resort, like the water park that they've abandoned and... the Nature Island.
That would be fun.
But they actually will go backstage with video cameras, and they'll dress like they kind of look like they should belong, and they'll walk through the utility tunnels, and they do it as a challenge, and they're starting to get arrested for it. They're going after them pretty hardcore, which I think is hilarious, and this is one of my giant gripes about Disneyland, is they regularly, when there's guest overflow, will open the backstage areas as walkways.
We used to be vehemently opposed to that. Oh, that was a parade lead.
I will tell you that I think it's the worst, you know, let's just talk about breaking the magic and just tearing it apart.
Yeah, it's awful back there.
Yeah.
It's my break room.
Smells.
It's not, yeah.
Yeah, it's mechanics stuff everywhere.
And you've got princesses back there, you know.
Smoking and cussing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, they do it. It's busy now, Christmas season, so they do it regularly. And usually ends up going right behind Jungle Cruise.
Yeah, it goes down Main Street. Or
where our storage is, you know, and the boats are parked back there trying to sleep, and these people are walking by pointing at them. And
I just feel like it's so... There's got to be a better way to direct that traffic. you know.
For those of you who are wondering what it's like backstage at Disney, it'd be like going from being on the strip of Atlantic City to all of a sudden turning down like a dark alley in New York, and you're like, oh wait, oops, and there's like people sleeping on the curb, and there's puddles everywhere that stink of sulfur so in urine.
And, you know, crack hose.
There's not really good lighting.
It's basically like the difference between walking through the Bellagio in Vegas and going to Fremont Street.
Yeah, it's a big change. And it's all because it's all utilitarian back there. It's all function, not
Fremont's
form.
My favorite. Maybe that's why I feel so at home backstage.
Yeah.
I love Fremont Street.
Yeah, Fremont Street is really any place you can get dollar hot dogs.
Ugh.
Being served from people who are wearing dollar bills to cover their body, you know, it's a pretty interesting, and you know they always have the third rate rock and roll band impersonators there.
Yes.
It's like it's not the boss.
The guy that actually looks worse than Keith.
Yeah.
Richards.
All right. So yeah, so no, it's the Jungle Boat ride is fun. I've said it before, and I'll say it until the end of the podcast. That at some point when I retire, I'd like to go back and work at the park again.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to make the money that I would like to make and work at the park now, but that's not going
to
happen.
I tell that to everyone when they ask me about my current job, and I go, oh, man, if I could make what I make now on the Jungle Cruise, I'd still be there. Like, yeah.
It is the best job in the world, which is why they don't pay you to do it, because then everyone would never leave. Everyone would just want to do it. It's like medicine. It has to taste bad, otherwise you take it all the time.
Yeah, I'd be a NyQuil-aholic if that stuff tasted like candy.
Yeah. That's why they have the little plastic cup on it, because, you know...
The shot glass?
Yeah, the shot glass. Because you're asleep by the time that, you know, that it's down, that glass is hitting the floor.
Speaking of time
out.
Machines, that NyQuil is a good time machine.
Yeah, that's a great way to...
There's
make
a new
time
NyQuil,
in here.
New NyQuil. Yeah, I mean,
you always wake up in the future.
ZQuil.
Yeah, this is not a joke. It's purple. It's like a berry flavored NyQuil.
It's a sleep aid.
Yeah, and I thought that's kind of ironic because isn't NyQuil already an unofficial sleep aid?
Well, NyQuil is basically Everclear with Sudafed in it.
Right.
So you might as well just have some rum and take an Advil. You know, or Benadryl.
Yeah, forget
or something.
The Advil.
Oh, that's what I always give my dates. Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I would also take care
of
colds.
You like roofy coladas? And getting caught in the rain. And you're like Mr. Rex.
Yep.
And you won't feel no pain.
Oh.
Anyway.
That really brings it home for the kids.
Yeah, yeah. The funny thing is we haven't gone into explicit tag territory. We just kind of danced around the line a little bit.
That's more my style anyway.
Does that really lower your listenership?
Yeah, it does actually.
Does it really?
Yeah. Well, because people, honestly, there's a point where, I don't know, no one sent me emails saying that they prefer that we only talk about Disney stuff. I'm still waiting for people to send us emails to let us know their preferences, but at this point, we just talk about whatever. And
it's like Joey and Trevor's introduction to Disneyland, that video they did.
Oh, yeah, I remember that video.
Yeah. They had some angry responses to that, and they're fantastic.
Yeah. I really, actually, my only concern about... I really do try to keep the magic, and I really do try to talk about what it was like as cast members and all that. And, you know, we go into some, you know, comedy areas. But at the end of the day, I try to keep it really clean because at some point I want John Lasseter on the podcast. And if we go too deep into the waters of the jungle, and the water is usually what's mixed with the scotch, you know, it makes it a little hard for me to say we'll ever get his caliber on the podcast. I'm still trying to get the guys from Psych and, you know...
Get his son on, at least.
You know, I'd like to get Ben on.
He's not there anymore.
He's not there anymore.
Really?
No, yeah. He left a while ago.
He's going to grad school at USC. So
yeah, I've actually...
He's a good kid.
I've got him on Facebook. I should just send him a message and get him on a phone interview.
Whoa, his dad can afford USC?
Well, it's probably financed.
He's probably got some financial aid. Yeah, that's John Lasseter. I mean...
Works for Disney. I know. When I was working for Disney, I couldn't afford anything. So I'm sure, you know, he's not making much money. So the other, you know, before I forget, this is the first podcast since Disney and Star Wars, since Lucasfilm was purchased.
Oh my God, that's right.
I got to tell you, I am so looking forward to a Monkey Island movie.
I love that game.
I think that'll be a Grim Fandango.
Is that like Monkey Ball?
No, nothing like Monkey Ball.
Oh, okay.
But I remember that as well.
It was a computer game.
It was a point-and-click adventure. It had little comedic tones to it.
Yeah.
Made by LucasArts.
But it's interesting, all the properties other than Star Wars and Indiana Jones that are there. that they are ripe for exploration. Sam and Max.
That's a fun little series, yeah.
There's some other things they might do with it. The thing that I was thinking about is that they just came out with Star Wars Angry Birds.
Oh,
so are
God.
We going to actually have Angry Birds merchandise in the parks now because it's tied into Star Wars?
Well, I don't know. We don't have the... Oh, we do. We have the Star Wars Transformers in the Star Trader.
And the Star Wars Potato Head.
Yeah, Potato, I think we can get away with because of Pixar. Yeah.
I really am just hoping that we buy Cirque du Soleil so it makes our Cirque du Soleil
makes
joke
it relevant.
A little bit more relevant. So, okay. So, yeah, I'm sure we'll... In the next year, we'll have you back on again, Kip, because...
No problem.
Yeah.
I'm not the best podcaster. I've done it a couple times, and I'm... I don't know if it's my genre, but
well, Rex
I'm willing to try.
Rex is an obnoxious prick.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He's perfect for it.
Definitely.
I'm just a foil for whoever
I always
comes
think
on.
About the Gary Larson cartoon, Rex Bow. You ever see
Larson,
that one?
I'm
Gary Larson. He's the far side. Side.
The far side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
sorry,
he had this one cartoon. It was Rex Bow. It was just a dog dressed up like Rambo. He had like a bazooka grenade
this.
Launcher.
I've been forever.
It's fantastic.
Far
yeah,
side.
He's...
Look on the internet. Everything's there.
It. Yeah, pretty much. I'm going to have a bunch of Star Wars / Disney jokes coming, though, I'm telling you. I mean, I'm already picturing like a Disney edition of the first three, you know, episodes 4, 5, 6, trying to make it quick, where like Han Solo has to be kissed to wake up from his carbonite, you know, or...
yeah, the crossovers are...
Pinocchio's nose is a lightsaber when he lies, you know, just all the various... It'll be good.
Yeah.
I can't
well,
wait.
Well, you know what, they've had Marvel for a few years, and they haven't bastardized that too much, so...
They let Marvel be Marvel, which rightfully so. They just had the funding to help them
yeah.
along.
I really hope that the third... I talked to a guy who was with Imagineering for 15 years last night, and we talked for a while about it would be great for them to make the third park either an all-Star Wars... So you walk onto Main Street, and it looks like, you know, Coruscant going back to the giant tower of a castle that was all Star Wars-y.
They kind of do that in Florida.
I think that'd be really cool.
They have those Star Wars days or whatever
the
they call
Wars
them.
Star Wars days.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be fun to actually have the entire park with, like, the Main Street being, like, super high-tech with an actual, like, sci-fi castle instead of Sleeping Beauty's castle.
I think it's a great idea. Yeah. I'd go to that.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds expensive.
As long as I'm still a cast member and I get it for free.
Oh. Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, you'd be able to, you know, I think Jar Jar Pinatas could be sold there, that you just beat him with a lightsaber.
Now, would you put a holiday overlay over your Star Wars overlay?
Absolutely.
Overlay your overlays?
No, because you have to have the Wookiee holiday. You have to have the, from the Star Wars TV special.
Oh my gosh, now you're really going back. Okay.
You don't remember the Star Wars TV, Star
barely,
Wars Christmas special?
I barely remember it.
For any of you guys who are Star Wars fans, this is the thing Lucas denies exists. It's pretty much the worst thing they've ever done.
I've only seen it once.
So go on to YouTube and look up the Star Wars Christmas special. It really is the best holiday special. Since we're holiday, yes, we have holiday music in the background. What's your favorite Christmas special, Rex?
Oh, it's the Claymation Rudolph. The
Claymation
Reindeer.
Rudolph? Yeah. What's yours?
Oh, Charlie Brown.
The Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Charlie Brown Christmas, good one.
I gotta say, I really was charmed by the all of the other reindeer. The one that came out like 5, 6 years ago with Drew Barrymore. That's one worth catching. But yeah, no, the Star Wars holiday one is, I think, the worst holiday special that was ever done. It made the Captain and Tennille holiday special look high quality.
Oh, Captain Tennille. That's a good MXC reference, by the way.
Yeah. You can also check out the Tron holiday special.
No, I didn't know that happened.
Yeah.
Is that real?
It's Funny or Die. It's on Funny or Die. So.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's go take our... It's got like a... It's very 1980s, and it's got a Dom DeLuise and Burt Reynolds on light cycles, and Dom DeLuise like leans over to have the light cycle form underneath him, and his weight crushes it. But yeah, go check out the Tron holiday special on Funny or Die or YouTube. That one's... pretty amazing. All right, we're going to go find some people to ask stupid questions to. Kip, you around for humorous value? You've already done it. You know the...
All right, let's do it.
All right, so okay. Thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll probably split this monster into 2 episodes and have a great time out there in the internet adventure lands and Kungaloosh.